Proceed to the third case of the day, Anderson versus Milwaukee County. Mr. Staver.
May it please the court. On behalf of Gail Anderson, we respectfully request this court reverse the judgment below. The real issue before this court is whether Tariff 116 violates the First Amendment. On its face, it bans all leafleting, but in its confusing and conflicting applications, it does and does not ban all leafleting. We submit that that violates the First Amendment and ask this court to reverse the judgment below for two reasons. Tariff 116, we submit, violates the First Amendment because it's vague and overbroad, and also because its ban on leafleting is unreasonable. Tariff 116 presents the classic trap for individuals that board the Milwaukee Transit system. This particular tariff says that it does not allow the distribution of any literature whatsoever. But however, on page 2 and 3 of our reply brief, we put forth parallel columns between what the defendants have actually said on different occasions, including in their answer brief. And they say that 5 newspapers is literature distribution, but 1 is not. 1 business card is literature distribution, but on another case, page 32 of their answer brief, giving out a business card to 2 fellow passengers is not. Mr. Smith, the driver, says that handing out 1 piece of literature is distribution, but their expert, Mr. Marcus, says handing out literature to 2 people is not literature distribution.
Do you think there's any way that they could have a rule or a tariff that says that, let's just say, you can't have political literature or advertising literature passed up and down the aisles? Does it have to be more specific? Is that your concern?
No, I think they could have that particular policy. In fact, a policy that would say you can't stand in the aisles, that you can't stand up, that you can't...
What, in a bus?
In a bus.
What if it's no seats? You can't get on?
Well, if it has no seats and you're just standing there, that you couldn't block traffic, you couldn't put your literature on someone who was unwilling to receive it. The defendants have stipulated that the appellant here does not put her literature to someone who doesn't want to receive it. The stipulation by the defendants is that she would ask them if they want the literature, and if they shake their head, yes, she gives it. No, she doesn't give it. So those kinds of restrictions would be eminently reasonable. But in this case, a policy that bans all leafleting is not only unreasonable, but it's conflicting in its applications. And let me just give you an example. In page 31 of the answer brief, the defendants in their answer brief state that giving out 1 piece of literature to someone on your way to work in the morning and then getting on the bus and on your way back giving out another piece of literature to a different person is not literature distribution. However, on the appendix number 1, and it is page 3 of the appendix, and it is in paragraph number 12, they say exactly the opposite. I'm sorry, it's appendix insert number 3, paragraph 12, page 3. They say that the rule, and this is the stipulation by the same defendants, the rule prohibits an individual from distributing even 1 book or business card if they were systematically doing so, as in the case of a person that MTS was aware was daily distributing such material. So in their answer brief, they say you can give out a card on your way to work, and on your way back from work, you can give out another card to someone else. That's not distributing. That's what they say in page 31. But their own stipulation says, no, that's not true. That, in fact, if you distribute even 1 card or 1 book to someone else, and if they're aware that you did it on another day or you do it subsequently, that, in fact, is banned. And then in paragraph 13, their own stipulation says that the literature that the plaintiff was trying to distribute in this case was absolutely banned. They have conflicts in their own application. And so, first, we believe that this policy is vague and overbroad. They say, for example, that you can exchange a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for a Traveling Companion's USA Today. But then they also say that you can't distribute other kinds of literature. They also say in their answer brief that giving out multiple pieces of literature is distributing literature, page 28. On page 32, they say giving out fellow passengers two copies of a piece of literature on a one-time basis is not.
Well, on page let's be practical here. This whole case is about your client who wants to go up and down the aisles or sit as people walk by and just pass out literature or this book to all the people on the bus. Now, how do you write an ordinance that would stop that from, or a tariff, to stop that from happening if you were satisfied as the bus company, the county running the bus system here, that that's annoying to passengers and, you know, you're a captive audience when you're sitting on a bus and you don't want to be bothered by people passing things. How would you write the ordinance?
Sure. I think you could write that very straightforward. First of all, the stipulated evidence is that she does not want to walk up and down the aisles. That's not what she did. That's not what she does.
She sits in a, and as people walk by, she passes, gives them stuff.
Or she'll pass it to somebody who's sitting right next to her. She's a 56-year-old lady who doesn't have a driver's license and rides the bus because of that reason. And so when she sits down, when she's going to buy groceries, she'll talk and she'll ask somebody, do you want this book? And if they say yes, she takes it. And if they say no, she doesn't. So I think how you write that is you say that you cannot block the aisles. You might even say that you can't even reach across the aisle, although that might be a little unusual because you may come back from a convention. There's conventioneers that ride these buses. They have the agenda for the day. They sit across the aisle from one another, and they want to pass the agenda. What are you going to see today? What conference or seminar are you going to see? They come back from the convention. They have literature from that convention. They want to pass it back and forth to one another. That seems reasonable. What is unreasonable is to ban that. But how to write that policy? I think you can write it specifically so that you don't block the aisles. That would be impermissible. That you don't put it on somebody who's unwilling. If somebody makes any indication that they do not want to receive your message, whether it's verbal or whether it's written, then you must immediately cease. You cannot harass or annoy someone or push your message, whether it's verbal or written, on someone else. I think that protects the environment around the particular person who's the passenger. But what we have in this case is a flat ban on literature. And frankly, that's unreasonable. If you have business cards that you carry around in your pocket, as we all most likely do, and you're talking to someone and you want to find out more information or follow up with them, this policy would not allow you to pass out that business card because that would be considered distributing printed material. And so the policy is so vague and it's so overbroad. It's vague, and I think one of the problems that we have with it is it doesn't give any specifics about stopping harassment, stopping unwilling distribution, stopping standing up or blocking traffic, or slowing down the flow of traffic, which all would be reasonable. It's a flat ban. And I think one of the problems that we have with this flat ban is that the defendants are frankly uncomfortable with it. On its face, it's a flat ban. So sometimes they will say, yes, it prohibits the distribution of any literature whatsoever. Then on another occasion, their same expert and their same director of transportation says, well, no, it doesn't. That it depends. It depends upon many things, and it varies from whether the bus driver has the interpretation, whether Mr. Marcus, their expert, has the interpretation, and even their answer brief. Their answer brief, for example, on page 16 says that the tariff is abundantly clear insofar as it bans any distribution of literature. Then on page 28 they say, there is absolutely no mystery what distributing literature means. It means to give out printed matter to a number of people. What is it? They even had to make distinctions, as their expert did, between people who give out a piece of business card or a book, which he called it literature, versus the transportation authority having the literature rack in the back of the bus driver. He called that not literature, that was in fact information. And so when the transit gives out their newsletter to people on the bus, that's information, not literature. Well, that's not what the policy says. Where does all of that come from? It comes from a policy that is vague and frankly overbroad. And we believe that it's overbreadth where it bans leafleting, which I think has been granted an exception in the Lee versus Ishkan case to normal speech activities. This court, I believe,
in a non-public forum.
In a non-public forum. And this court, I believe, Your Honor, recognized that in the Acorn case dealing with the public, Navy pier. And even though the other kinds of expressive activities were banned and could be rightly banned in those non-public fora, the court ultimately gave the exception for leafleting.
Are there different kinds of non-public forums? A bus being an enclosed vehicle, moving. You don't have like Navy Pier, places like that where you can just leave if you don't like what's going on.
There certainly are different kinds. And I think what you do in that, and that's under the second argument in terms of the ban being unreasonable, you look at the nature of the forum and whether or not it is incompatible with expressive activities. In this case, we consider the nature of the forum. This is a public transportation facility. They have between 300 and 400 buses, depending upon the morning or the evening or the afternoon schedule that they run throughout the city of Milwaukee. People ride that bus. Some of them ride it because it's their only means of transportation. Obviously, when you sit down in that seat, sometimes you don't want to communicate. That's fine. I ride airplanes and buses all the time, and if I don't want to communicate, I don't say anything. But many times they do want to communicate. They open up the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or the USA Today, and they read today's headlines about the FEMA director blaming the locals and the locals blaming the FEMA director, and they might get into a discussion about that. And if they give them a piece of newspaper, all of a sudden, because they've gotten into that verbal discussion, but now they give them print, is that banned? Or if they have buttons on their shirts that have a variety of kinds of messages, which they are allowed to wear on these buses, and someone says, I like your button, can I have it? And you give out one or two buttons to someone, all of a sudden, is that banned? They can come on their buses, and they have T-shirts that, well, they have various kinds of messages. Those T-shirts may evoke different kinds of conversations. But as soon as someone reaches into their purse or into their wallet to give out a piece of literature to someone else, as soon as that verbal message is transformed to literature in that immediate environment of the seat, the policy takes place. Tariff 116 says, no, it's impermissible. And in this case, a 56-year-old lady was escorted off the bus, and she had to walk home several blocks in the heat of the afternoon because of this policy that is unreasonable in that kind of environment. When you are sitting next to a passenger and you engage each other in willing discussion, and I think you can have a policy that says you can't engage in unwilling discussion. If someone says they want to not hear you, then you need to back off. Eminently reasonable.
But this is the trouble. When you talk about eminently reasonable, it seems that this is, I know it would be nice just to have a really bright line between sitting next to someone and getting in a discussion, and someone may ask for a card or something like that, where you have a normal conversation, as opposed to somebody who is, I don't want to use prejudice, but bothering someone with saying, I'd like to give you this. It's, in other words, it's unsolicited. It's sort of imposed on a stranger. Now, would you have to amend the law to say you can't solicit a stranger?
No.
Or can't leaflet or do something, pass out something to a stranger who doesn't inquire? Or how would you refine this to the point where you can have some order on a bus?
Your Honor, I would refine it by saying that you cannot give out literature or anything in print to someone who indicates a desire not to receive.
So everybody, you can solicit as long as, and they just say no.
And they say
so
no.
So you can go up and down the bus and say,
no.
I want... What?
Not up and down the bus.
Why
I don't
not?
Think you can walk up and down the aisle while the
so
bus is moving.
So you can say you can't get up. You've got to be sitting while you do this.
You would have to not be blocking the aisle, or you can have a policy that says you cannot go up and down the aisles and pass out literature. You could also have a policy that adds to that. You could not give literature to someone who is sitting in your immediate environment when they indicate a desire not to receive it. And if you continue to do that, when they say no, then you must stop. That would protect any passengers from unwilling solicitation, just like it would protect passengers from unwilling argument or debate when they're sitting next to somebody and someone wants to engage in a discussion. And if you say, I don't want to talk about that, and you would alert the bus driver this person is continuing to harass you when you've indicated an unwillingness to proceed, then it seems reasonable even for verbal speech.
Well, what would be the zone of communication that you feel would be appropriate for Ms. Anderson? The immediate seatmate, and that's it?
I think the immediate seat of environment where someone could reach, you know.
Well, most conversations only relate to the person who's the immediate seatmate.
That's
right?
Correct.
So would that be the kind of acceptable limitation?
It would,
Your Honor.
The kind
you have on a bus or a plane?
It would. Just like
so
it
that's
would be.
That's a one-to-one.
That would be one-to-one or one on each side.
Well,
it depends
upon.
If
you're on the aisle, you could then you'd have two, right?
You could
have
two.
The middle seat if you're lucky enough to have a middle seat.
You might have some if somebody if you know you might have somebody in front or somebody behind, but it's your immediate environment, just like you would be talking to someone. Just like you don't want to be in the front seat and yelling to somebody in the back seat, you don't want to throw your literature back there as well. Common sense, I think, would govern that kind of a policy, and I think that would be reasonable. But the one we have now is not.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Staver. Ms. Nyman.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'm Mary Pat Ninneman and arguing on behalf of Milwaukee County and Milwaukee Transport Services. There are four issues in this case, but I really believe that it's a case about common sense. Common sense being, should the transit system be permitted to ban the distribution of literature on the bus, including distribution of commercial advertising literature, political pamphlets, religious tracts? Common sense says, yes, they should be permitted to do it. Then what does that rule look like that limits, prohibits such distribution? It looks exactly like the one that the transit system has adopted. It is a viewpoint-neutral prohibition on the distribution of literature on in the non-public forum, which is here the confined space of a transit system bus. Because it is a non-public forum, the rule against distributing literature really is subject only to a reasonableness review. Everybody concedes it's viewpoint neutral. Now, the Supreme Court has held on more than one occasion that common sense is sufficient to uphold a regulation under a reasonableness review. And the application of common sense here fully validates the reasonableness of this rule. It's similar to rules enforced by other transit systems all across the country, and it's motivated by the very reasonable concern for passenger safety and for passenger comfort. Imagine riding on the bus if there were no such a rule. When people walk down the narrow aisle of a bus or seated in the bus and reaching across the aisle, over the seat, behind them to distribute literature, or in any way impede the movement of passengers on the bus in order to hand out political, commercial, religious, or any other kind of literature, it poses dangers to passenger safety. Our expert Marcus Norman described all the engineering bases for those risks, safety risks, but it's really common sense when you have people.
Is the problem that Ms. Anderson, if she hands it to a seatmate, will cause that seatmate to get up and have increased traffic? Is that the concern you'd have about her offering it to someone or engaging someone in the immediate seat to the right or left?
Well, Your Honor, distributing literature does not mean seated next to someone, having a conversation, and giving them a piece of printed material.
Well, but suppose she's,
distribution of literature means distributing printed matter to a number of people.
Well, I don't know how frequent a writer Ms. Anderson is, but let's say her view is that if fate put her next to Mr. X or Ms. X that day, she wants to advance the thought to that single person. Or two is, I haven't had the pleasure of riding the buses in Milwaukee, but I'm assuming they're two-seated, two on each side. And that's her mission.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes the bus somewhere and then she takes it back. So two people each day are engaged by her or with her approach. That confined approach, if that were allowed, would that somehow be a risk to safety? I mean, the only thing I can think of is it's so annoying to the person, they not only say no, but they then want to get up and, it, as I say, increases traffic. I'm trying to play this out as best you could defend it, it seems to me. But I, other than that, I just, you know, I'm not sure I can see where
I think that if you were limited to just safety, she's got to have one person seated next to her. She hands a book to one person seated next to her. Is safety implicated? No, I don't believe so. But neither is the rule, Your Honor, because that is not distribution of printed material or literature as banned by the rule. Mm-hmm. The rule bans the distribution of literature.
So she could do that every morning and every night, assuming she was...
And if that's what had happened, we wouldn't be here today.
Would you walk through what happened that day, because that seems to be more complicated than that.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, the Ms. Anderson claims that this rule is vague, that nobody knows really what it means. Well, the stipulated facts, the facts she stipulated to, shows that she knows exactly what it means and tells what she was doing on that day. For example, and this is attached to our brief, it's the stipulated facts, number 29. The bus plaintiff was riding has a row of handicapped seats at the front of the bus. She was in the area of the first seats after the handicapped seating area and was attempting to distribute copies of the book, attached as Exhibit E, the Book of Hope, to other passengers on the approximately half-full bus.
How? As they walked by, or how did she attempt to distribute them?
Well, there is no agreement on that, as how she attempted to distribute it. We know that she, we all agree that she was giving it to numerous passengers or attempting to.
How did it come to the bus driver's attention?
The bus driver, Mr. Smith, saw her, and that's stipulated fact number 30, when the bus driver, Roselle Smith, observed plaintiff distributing literature on the bus, he asked her to stop. Mr. Smith observed plaintiff attempting to distribute her literature and passengers shaking their head in refusal.
So it's more than one person, obviously.
Absolutely, which she admits. In fact, at paragraph number 38, she stipulates that because plaintiff refused to comply with Mr. Smith's repeated request to stop distributing literature on the bus, the dispatcher, who Mr. Smith then called, decided to call security, and two Wackenhut security officers were sent to intercept the plaintiff, intercept the bus the plaintiff was riding on. At the time that the security, stipulated that at the time the security officers asked the plaintiff to talk to them off the bus, they didn't know that she was distributing religious literature, but they learned it because when she got off the bus, she told them, I'm distributing religious literature on the bus. I should be allowed to do this.
So your suggestion is that she, in effect, impedes, to some extent, the traffic flow because she engages people as they come on the bus?
She is impeding traffic flow. She is interfering with safe operation of the bus. And solely on this ground, she is interfering with the comfort of the passengers on the bus. You are a confined, captive audience on that bus. And this is something that the distribution of literature of whatever nature, whether or not you say, get away from me, I don't want it, it invades your private space, your area of comfort, and it certainly can make riders not want to ride the bus if that's what they are confronted with. It is reasonable, and cases have found restrictions on First Amendment in non-public forums to be reasonable when they are designed for customer safety or user safety, passenger safety in this case. Plaintiff admitted in this case that at times she rides the Milwaukee County Transit buses solely for the purpose of distributing religious literature. That's what she wanted to do. She has tried to recast this to say, no, 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 all I wanted to do was talk to the person next to me, and if that person wanted a copy of this Book of Hope that I had, I would give it to them. That's not prohibited by the rule. A common sense view of that rule does not prohibit that activity, and nobody ever said it did. You can always come up with hypotheticals taken out of context where there's no opportunity to exercise common sense and say, well, okay, the distribution of one piece of printed matter is distribution of literature banned by this rule. It could be if somebody got on the bus with a stack of political flyers and the bus driver recognizes that person as the person running for office, the bus driver might say to that person before they have handed out anything, you may not distribute that literature on the bus. And if the politician says, I'm going to do it, I have a right to do it, the bus driver may say, well, then you can't get on the bus.
Would this be a total ban as viewpoint neutral, condition on obvious common sense when someone's sitting next to each other and they've got magazines and done with this one and that one in exchange or getting a discussion, a business card? I take the train a lot. All I can hear is other people on their phone, so they don't have time to talk to anybody next to them, but loud and clear. But as far as just discussion and passing back and forth, you see that more frequently. But I guess the question is, if it's viewpoint neutral and it's essentially a total ban, that the obvious exceptions is there an obvious exception of common sense, or does that exception suddenly override the rule? There, you can't have such a rule.
I think that where common sense comes in is looking at the rule and saying, what does it mean? The common sense understanding of the rule, the understanding that users of the English language would have of the rule that says you may not distribute literature or advertising on the bus, is that you may not hand out multiple copies of literature to numbers of people on the bus. People know what that means. Ms. Anderson knew what that meant. It doesn't cover the instance. It's not an exception to say that you can hand your business card if you're sitting on a bus and you're talking to passengers and you say, I escaped Rita and I'm here in Milwaukee. If you ever get down to Dallas, here's my business card. Look me up. That's not the distribution of literature. If some befuddled driver thought that that was the distribution of literature and asked the passenger to stop saying, can't distribute literature, easy to stop. He's already done it. There's no consequence to that. Although there is absolutely no instance and no example of a bus operator ever coming up with that kind of an interpretation of what it means to not distribute literature or advertising on the bus.
In this case, the bus driver checked with the, I don't know who, some expert at the office.
The dispatcher.
Before he did anything, didn't he?
Well,
or what did he do? And
that's somewhat what misleading, Your Honor, because what Mr. Smith had been an operator since 1978. That rule had been in place since at least 1978, and he had been enforcing it all along. He'd never had anybody refuse to stop when he asked him to. In this instance, when he called for clarification, it was not to find out what does the rule mean. He called the dispatcher back at home base to say, isn't there a rule that says you can't distribute literature on the bus? And the dispatcher said, yep, copy that. There's a rule. You cannot distribute literature on the bus. He said, I thought so. I got somebody here who says she has the right to do it, and I asked her to stop. And the dispatcher said, well, you know, we'll send somebody out then, and if she's still on the bus when we get there, we'll take care of it. And in that conversation between Mr. Smith and the dispatcher is also attached to our brief. It was Exhibit 3 to the stipulated facts. It was not Mr. Smith asking, what does it mean to distribute literature on the bus? He simply wanted reassurance after being told forcefully by Ms. Anderson that she had the right to do this, that he was right, that there was a rule that she wasn't allowed to do this. I think that again, given the nature of the non-public forum in this case, this interior of a transit system bus, and the very reasonable restriction, viewpoint neutral restriction on distributing literature, the reasonableness of that rule is apparent when you look at the cases cited at pages 16 through 25 of our brief, that although it's not identical non-public forum, where it upholds, where courts have consistently upheld restrictions on First Amendment, where it is a reasonable restriction that supports interests that the government is entitled to protect, such as comfort, aesthetic reasons only, possible disputes, all of those things that that are here. And the fact that the system
Ms. Miniman,
has...
you're close. You are out of time, so I'll have to ask you to conclude that with that whatever thought you're expressing to us now.
I was just going to say, Your Honor, that the fact that the bus system has a rack that includes information on the bus routes and bus services doesn't implicate the rule at all or create some class of exemption that requires the system to open up the bus to distribution of all literature.
Mr. Staver.
May it please the court. If we go back to Appendix 3, page 3, stipulation 12, that stipulation by defendants prohibits any distribution of literature. Not multiple copies, but any. If you get on the bus one time, it's a one strike, you're out under that stipulation by the defendants. You can't give out a piece of literature, a card they even say, and then later on some other day get on the bus and give out another card to another person. It's a one strike, you're out pursuant to their own stipulation. On its face, this is a total ban on leafleting. And yes, Your Honor, there would be some common sense exceptions that you could write a rule that would say you couldn't give out multiple pieces, but that's not what this policy says. It says none. You could write something that says you couldn't give out more than five pieces, so that when you have someone coming on and they have an intent to give out a lot of different literature, you can limit it. That's reasonable. But an absolute ban on literature is not. An absolute ban on communication of anything verbal into the printed page, giving it to a seatmate, is not. That's what this policy prohibits. We request this court reverse the judgment below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Staver. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.